South Africans doing great things.
Well, his name is Sidwill Chingilani, and he is founder of Soweto Kota Festival. He's a businessman, a serial entrepreneur, and indeed a South African doing great things. He joins me now on the line. Sidwill, thank you so much, my brother, for joining me this evening. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Baodla, and thank you to 702 listeners. Actually, I'm the fan of the show. I think you are the reason in the past 7 years. I normally sleep at 12.
Wow. Thank you, bro. Thank you very much. Listen, I'll take a quarter from you.
Thank you.
Listen, bro, I'm told that there was a festival in Soweto celebrating the quarter. When did this happen, and what was the thinking behind it?
Okay, Paobza, yes, there was a festival celebrating our heritage. Remember, Kota is from the township.
Yeah.
It's something that is very unique. You can't find it anywhere. It's born in South African township. You can go to Mamelodi, like in Pretoria, because I know you're from Pretoria.
Yeah.
They go Mamelodi, they call it Spat.
Spat,
yeah. You go to the Vaal, they call it Kambane. Then you go to even Devon, Spanish Town. So it's one family. So it's called, so it will call it Ikota.
Yeah, in I think the guys in Aldo's call it the Biff. So it's a definitely a South African staple. Well, in Mums, sometimes we call it the Mamelodi burger. In the past, we used to call it Afzi. Before it was called that, it was Af. You know, we used to call it Afzi. But yeah, I hear you, brother. I hear you, man. And tell me, well, what was the inspiration behind the idea of celebrating Ikota?
Yes, man. I think, you know, when you go to social media, because I used to, in the past few years, like, we do a lot of research in terms of, remember now, research, you can go to social media, to Facebook. So you look at comments and people, and then you look at trends, what is not available and what is available. And so people, they normally comment in events when they go to the, let's say they go to the 702, walk the talk. Then obviously there will be comments. So I was so interested in those kind of comments. When people, let's say, visited Soweto, I think someone visited Soweto, and then he was complaining that, no, but I went to the township, but I didn't eat Ikota. It was like, she found that like strange.
Yeah.
That you can't go to Mamelodi and don't eat Ikota, like especially if you're from the north and all of that. So I saw the opportunity around that. And I think also I was very happy because now it was something that was not available at that time.
Yeah.
Because when you go, because I wanted something that is unique. We don't do, I think my company also, we don't do things that are already existing. We're trying to find something that are unique, something that are special, like Ikota, because it's our heritage. And it's happening in September.
So, Sidwill, I want to perhaps introduce those people, many South Africans who might not know what we're talking about when we speak of Ikota. And hopefully this will start a process where people are going to go out there and find Ikota. And by the way, I'd like to take your calls on 011-883-0702. Where is the best place to get Ikota? Perhaps here in Johannesburg, Soweto. Where is the best place? Wherever you are, where we can get the best Ikota. So those people who might not know what Ikota is, it's really a piece of bread, right?
Yes.
That has been cut up into, so you've got the loaf of bread. It's cut up into four pieces, the four quarters, and that quarter is then cut in half, and then it's hollowed out, and all manner of goodies is then put into that cavity, and chips, all manner, Russian egg, and whatever the case may be, and it has become part of the staple food that we eat in the townships. Because it's affordable, it's nutritious, it's got all sorts of wonderful food, and it's on the go. You know, you can get it on the go. And it is really the business of many, many, many entrepreneurs in the townships. Would that be correct, Sidwill?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. Because if you can think about it, you go to Mamelodi, you go to Harangua, you go to Soweto, Tembisa, Each and every street, you'll find a quarter outlet.
Yeah.
That's how popular it is. I normally call because we had visitors in the past during this last festival.
Yeah.
I think from Kenya. So I was telling them that, no, here in South Africa, quarter is our South African burger.
Yeah.
Because I needed to explain to them, it's like, it's popular as American burger.
Yes.
In South Africa, especially in the township, quarter is so popular. Each and every street there's a quarter outlet. So that's how popular it is in South African townships.
So, Sidwell, I mean, it's true that anybody that has any roots in the township will know what a quarter is and how. But where did the idea come from to celebrate it, to not only celebrate it, but to encourage the commercialization of ikota? We know that there are many businesses in the Kasi that are selling ikota, but you seem to have taken it up a notch. You've celebrated it. You've got a whole festival where people converge towards Soweto to go and celebrate the quarter. Different people are showing off their various versions of ikota. Where did that idea come from, Sidwell?
I think, Aubrey, because I'm working in a space of small business.
Yeah.
I also have a company that we are trying to do something like an incubation in the township, because it's very difficult for small business, especially for those young people. You know, in the township, when you finish school, matric, sometimes you can't afford to go to a varsity or college.
Sure.
Then those people sometimes end up starting some businesses, and ikota is one of the businesses that is easy to start. So we thought, just to encourage them, let's try and just to compete, because we have a competition also. I think the best quarter, we have like three prizes on the day of the event, whereby the winner gets about 15,000 rand towards his business. So you can help you to develop the business. Then second prize is about 10,000, then third prize is about 5,000. So we also try to encourage them to do more, to do better, to make sure that their businesses are growing. And you know the issue of unemployment in South Africa, especially in the township. We have so many young people running around the street doing nothing.
Sure.
And so we felt, no, I think these businesses must make a difference. They must be sustainable. They must be able to create more jobs. So we thought that's our contribution as a company, just to help. It's a social enterprise thing, open. So, yeah, it's our small difference that we can make
change
in our local community.
Yeah, yeah. One of the difficult things that any entrepreneur anywhere in the world has to do is to find a way of commercializing what already exists to make it, I suppose, more. What's the right word? I'm looking for the word that expresses the idea that, you know, a quarter has always been there, but you guys seem to be on a mission to turbo boost the image of the quarter, such that it's not only just something that we know about in the township that we buy and eat because of necessity, but because it's something we choose to buy in the very many options that we have. In other words, the idea to make people choose to buy a quarter versus a burger. Right, a traditional burger. Is that what you guys are trying to do here?
Yes, we're trying to reposition ikota at the ops, because we've seen that if you go to the township now, there's a lot of shopping malls coming, some of them, like especially most the biggest township, like Uthembisa, Isirembi, Bo Mamelodi, and all of that. So we thought if you can position ikota as a brand, so that it can attract maybe the investors, so that they can also take them to the malls.
And So
that's a strategy that we're trying to put out to reposition the brand, the Kasi brand, so that it can compete with your beggars and all of that. So that's our plan.
Why do you think? I mean, no doubt, ikota is enjoyed from Richards Bay to Cape Town, to Khayelitsha. I mean, it's enjoyed everywhere in South Africa, but it hasn't had it hasn't developed the profile of the more mainstream fast foods like the burger or the pie? Or why has that? Why is that, Sidwell? Why is it that the
No, I suspect that it's an issue of marketing, because you remember we're dealing with very small-scale businesses. It's informal businesses, actually. So sometimes maybe the plan is not to grow and have franchises. But now we are starting that process, because there are the cars that we started in 2017, when we started like 7 years ago, 6 years ago. So they are able now to sell franchises. I think we have about two of them. They have a shop. One has a shop in Pretoria. Then there's one.
Wow.
Shop in, yeah. So that's the long term plan, perhaps, that we must take these guys to your biggest mall. You must be able to find a quota outlet, proper, not just because people who come to our event, perhaps, the quota that we serve is not just your although you have your old school like your Maudwana and all of that, but you still have the latest one, because now you have professional chefs that serve your quota. So
Uring in Antoine. Come quota.
Come quota, like it costs you about 120 rand. So people who attend our festival will know that it's not your normal quota that you'll find for maybe 10 rand, no. They start from 40 rand upwards, and it's proper quota, like there's everything. Also, there's also healthy option now. If you don't, let's say you're a vegan and all of that, vegetarian, there's those options available at the festival.
A vegan quota?
Yes.
I've heard it all now, man. Listen, one of the things that is beautiful about the quota, if you've traced the history of the quota and where it comes from, is that it is it's a beautiful mixture of the peoples of this country. I mean, the quota really has its genesis from the bunny chow in the Durban area, you know, amongst our Indian communities there. The quota actually comes from there. I mean, there's been many different variations, but one of the things that I love about the quota and how it has developed into a staple of townships is that it comes from that bunny chow tradition, and how we've fused the various cultures of urban culture in South Africa, from the Indian merchants in Durban, and how that has all moved to the point now that we've got a vegan gourmet quota that's worth 140 rand for a quota. Wait.
Yes. Yeah, no, 140 rand for a quota, because remember we are catering for different markets.
Yes.
We have a lot of people from like all over. As I was telling you, that we have people from the US who came to just see the festival and learn. There are people from the north, like people from the north. So
Europe and so. Okay. Our north. Sorry.
So because of the competition also, so people they try and do their best in terms of when they make it, like it's a proper time, because they know they expect, you know, when you expect visitors as Africans,
sure,
do your best, because there are people, there was a lot of media covering the event, so they had to do their best, especially to win the prize in the 15,000 prize.
Where did you hold the festival, Sidwell?
Okay, the festival, this year we're celebrating 5 years, 5 years sort of anniversary.
Wow! So you've been going for 5 years?
In 5 years, we started in 2017, perhaps. We started as a very small, it was not a small festival, it was just a big festival, but in a small way.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know the response. We're not sure whether the response is going to be so positive. So we're shocked, because our initial, the 2017, when we started, we were planning for just 500 people per day, which is Saturday, 500 people, 500 for Sunday. But we were shocked that I think the venue was taking up to 2,000 in terms of capacity. So I think before the event, like 2 weeks before the event, the tickets were sold out. So we're like, what? This thing, people love it. So,
a thousand people.
It was amazing. It was amazing. So the last the fifth one was at Soweto Cricket Oval in Elka.
Okay.
One of the biggest venues in Soweto.
Wow, man. Yeah. I wish I'd known, man. I would have definitely have, sorry, I would have definitely made an effort to come there, Sidwell. And part of the reason why I'm so fascinated by this is that I'm speaking more often now to guys that are taking things that are township homegrown ideas. So, for example, I was speaking last week to a guy by the name of Lolo, who started a business and created 9 franchises out of a business where these guys are just washing people's techies, you know? I think it's called Sneaker. So what I'm trying to say is that here's a guy, he's taking something that is just normal, something that we sometimes take for granted, and he's jazzed it up and he's made a business out of it, right? And people are getting employed. You guys are doing similar things. You're taking something that we might even take for granted, and you're jazzing it up, and you're starting to commercialize it, and people are starting to get employed. That for me is critical, because what you guys are doing is you're adding value.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
It's not just an exercise in making a quota and then selling it, but it's making it a business proposition that can become something international, but that is going to employ people, that's going to give us hope. You understand what I'm trying to say, Sidwell?
Yes. No, I get you, perhaps. Actually, talking about that, perhaps, we have young people who attended the festival and they ended up starting their own outlets, and they are even doing it now. So the business is, like, they are self-employed now, also employing other young people. Because you know the issue of South Africa and unemployment is very huge. So yeah, like, it's a small contribution that it makes. So yeah.
South Africa has got lots of problems, my brother, as you well know. We've got lots and lots of problems, and sometimes they can bend the mind and debilitate the spirit. You know, we can sometimes get so caught up in talking about our problems instead of coming up with solutions, right? When I see guys like you starting to take things that are here, you know, you're not looking for something out there. It's here. It's something that we know, we understand. We've got a relationship with the brand of the quota. You guys are taking this thing and you're starting to get on with it. You're not stopping and crying. You're getting on with it. And I'm not saying that people who cry shouldn't. You know the saying that he who doesn't cry doesn't get a solution, right? But what I'm saying, Sidwell, is that you and your team and the people that you're associated with are saying, yeah, I know that there are problems, but we're gonna find a solution. We're gonna find it with what we know and what we have. And for me, that is very inspirational. I want to ask the question as to where does that come from? Who is Sidwell, and where does that come from, that thing of wanting to come up with a plan, taking an opportunity?
Okay, I think I was born in Soweto, Rockville. Then I think when I was 2 years, then I went to the Eastern Cape. So it's a small town called Engamakwe, just about 50 kilometers from Mthatha and the East London. It's just a very small town. So when you grew up there, then, like, you know, in rural areas, they teach you respect and everything. I think also that passion of trying to assist, because when you grew up, we used to go to the neighbor. If you don't have mili-mili or what, you go to the neighbor, then you ask them, they will give you without even asking questions. So it helps you also to grow, to develop. So lucky enough, once I finished matric, then I came back to Johannesburg. Then it's a different environment altogether. So I think Johannesburg is about hustling also. Yeah. So you must learn how to hustle.
Joe Hasselberg, yeah.
Yeah, so I think those combination of growing up, I think it helps me a lot in terms of, because you have that spirit of Ubuntu, that we must help each other. We can't just survive. Something like that.
Yeah.
So I think growing up in the Eastern Cape, and you learn a lot of Ubuntu. So it's easy for you to help other people so that they can do better.
Interesting that you fuse the values that some may call more rural values and the rural, I mean the urban values of Ekasi, of Soweto, and those of the Eastern Cape. What did you say the village is that you grew up in?
So
interesting how you fuse in your story the story of you growing up in Ngamakwe, but also being a Soweto boy born in Soweto, and how you fuse that, and how that brings about the Sidwell that we are celebrating now. The idea that you can use the hustle culture, but use it in a way that that promotes the ideals of Ubuntu. Is that something somebody taught you, or is that something that develops over time through experience and trial and error?
Yes, I think it's something that developed over time, because remember, even before we started the whole thing of events, like we've been, like as young people, once you finish school, sometimes you don't have money to, I think I didn't also have money to go to college. So, like now, you must learn how to hustle, because you can look for a job, and, but you know, sometimes jobs are not that sustainable. So it means now you must try and find other ways of starting a business, looking for opportunities, and yeah, you'll end up finding an opportunity. It's a matter of looking different doors and opportunity. You'll manage to open some of the doors.
I'm told that you also run an events company, Sidwell. Is that the company that really is the chassis for the Soweto Kota Festival?
Yes, that's correct. But Ops, I think before 2010, I tried to start shuttle services without even any capital. You know, in South Africa, when you have to start a business without capital,
you're
in trouble. So I didn't know. It's when we were young, I was not even sure. I thought I'll just do a business plan and go to the bank. And then they'll tell you about that. This car, should anything happen with this car, are you able to pay this, everything, like insurance and all of that? So, like, by then I didn't know. So I was just trying, I was looking at the opportunity, especially for the World Cup. Remember, it was just before the Soccer World Cup.
Yes.
So that business, they didn't manifest. So I thought, okay, then I started another one after the World Cup, because I was part of the volunteers for the FIFA World Cup in 2010. So you learn a lot of things also there, because you know FIFA, they come up with systems, international systems for so it was so exciting, because I was able to see what is happening, how when they host in each country, what is in terms of the manuals. And so I was doing a lot of research during the FIFA World Cup.
Yeah.
So those are the things that helped me also to develop, because I think after World Cup I started it's a social enterprise called South African Volunteers Program, where I was helping students. Students from VIS, from UG, just when there are conferences, maybe let's say in 17, then I will talk to those guys and say, no, I have students. They need some pocket money. You know, the issue of pocket money when you are a varsity, sometimes you don't have money to buy a time and all of that. I said no. I think I managed that enterprise for almost 5 years. Then I think after that, then I decided, I think around 2016, to start my own event company.
Tell me, it appears that you didn't really, you weren't very successful with the idea of just putting together a business plan and going to the bank. Tell me what happened when you did that.
Yeah, I tried that. The issue of contribution, the issue of risk, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, when I want to borrow Kaobs, I said I want to start something, then I borrow from Kaobs 100 rand.
Yeah.
Then Kaobs will say, okay, just raise 20 rand, then sometimes you don't have that 20 rand.
Yes.
So, because there's that issue that, okay, if you need the business opportunity there, we see the potential and the possibility of profit. But now, how much are you contributing to that business? I think I was stuck around there. I think most young people also, they get stuck around there. You don't have your own contribution. You want a million, but you don't have, let's say, 100,000, 10% of that.
Yeah.
It becomes a very challenge. That makes sense also, because you can't just start anything without any contribution. not to share the risk with the investor, honestly. Yeah.
So how did you overcome that? How did you overcome, that good faith sort of deposit? How did you overcome the idea that banks and maybe some capital investors are going to look for a minimum contribution from you to assist you? How did you overcome that challenge, Sidwa?
I think perhaps, the strategy there was to come up with a business idea that would need a lot of capital, like the one that we started, the South African Volunteer Program. That one, we just had to organize students. We just have to give a data base and you approach conference organizers, event organizers, and say, we have database. These are our students. We have their names. Please employ them temporarily when we have a conference. Then that's when we start generating some funds.
You see, the reason why I ask Sidwell is because there's a lot of guys and girls out there that have brilliant business ideas. And then they do what you did. They go to a bank. Then the bank tells them exactly what you've just told me. And says, look, put down 20% of whatever it is that you're asking. And many don't have that 20%. And then at that moment, they then give up. They stop. They stop. They stop the pursuit of the dream, right? And that's where I get sad, because that no by the bank or what is an important part of the journey that we as entrepreneurs must go through. We must know the no in order for us to come up with a plan.
Yes.
Because entrepreneurship is precisely that, coming up with a plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the reason why I ask that question is because I want you to go back and tell us the story of the no and what it felt like, the humiliation, what did it feel like, and what did your mind have to do in order to overcome the no?
No, I think I don't analyze the ops. It's a very difficult one. I remember at some point, because you try to pick the stand as an entrepreneur, that no, this is the best business stand. So you can't tell me that no, you can't find this stand because I've worked very hard for this business stand. Then someone will just tell you, I know I'm looking at your financial statements, but projection, no, they don't make sense.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a very difficult time for us entrepreneurs, because now we have that hope that at least maybe they'll say, okay, the business plan maybe it's viable and whatnot, but the issue of funding, because the most important thing is the funding. I think there's an issue with funding in South Africa, especially for young people. But I think also young people must have a good heart, must have a big heart when you take this journey of entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Because you get a lot of no's and you must just continue and knock other doors and don't give up, because you'll never know perhaps, because now if you knock in one door then you give up, then you're not strong enough to be. It's very difficult for especially for young entrepreneurs to start, because we don't have any capital, we don't have any backup, so we are just hoping that something will happen, and it's quite challenging, and it affects your family also, because now they look upon you that you must make a change, you are giving them hope that things will, but sometimes they take longer, because I remember, I think my timeline was that I would be able to do these things in 10 years, but now that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I had to wait for more years, like 40.
So you had to readjust. Years. You had to readjust your plan, yeah?
Yeah, no, for sure. You must go back and draft and change the plan and come up with something different, and also look for other opportunities. So don't just look at one thing and say, I want to do this thing. If it doesn't work, change the plan and do something else. So I think that's the advice that you can give to.
Where did you learn that? Where did you learn the idea that you've got to change the plan. You've got to because a lot of people, Sidwell, stop right there. Most of us, we break down right there when I've got this vision, this plan in my mind, and I see it, right? And then everything around me seems not to agree with me, and it's nose all around, and then I stop. Then something else kicks in with people like yourself that says, let's change the plan. Let's change the timeline. Where did you learn that? Where does that come from? Because that, in my opinion, is the difference between success and failure.
Yes, for sure.
So where does that come from? Is that that whole fusion between Emakhaya and Ekasi?
Not really, but obviously. I think that one, because we've attended a lot of, I think in between, when your business proposals are not succeeding, so when you attend like courses, like your short business management courses, you just, because now it also helps you to rethink your ideas and come up with the new ways of doing things. So I did a lot of business short courses, especially business management. So I think those courses, they helped me to shape also what I managed to do right now. Just to be, to have open mind.
Right.
Just to be open-minded and maybe networking also, because I think it's very important also to network and talk to other entrepreneurs and see. So sometimes our challenges are the same. So you don't know until you network, you meet them and talk to them. Then at least now you know that no, I'm not alone on this journey. So yeah.
Tell me about the Soweto Kota Festival and some of the challenges that you experienced at least 5 years ago. I mean, I wasn't aware that the idea was 5 years old, right?
Yeah, perhaps. I think, actually, the Soweto, I think we've been getting invites from Soweto, especially for the show that happens around Kapasha, the last guy show, because of Azania, then
right.
So I think we are so happy that Soweto normally invites.
Guys, but why now you keep me outside the door? all right. Anyway, but tell me about that journey.
As I said, when we started the OBS, I think we had about 2,000 people attending the festival. That is 2,000, like the 10 or 12, that's 500 people, 500 family. Then we were shocked that it was sold out event, first event in 2017. So we were a bit shocked. Because we didn't even have enough sponsors for the event. So I think the next year we have to plan better also, because I think you learn every year when it means this annual event.
Yes.
So I think we moved to a bigger venue following year, which is 2017. I think we were trying to solve square in Cape Town. It's a bit bigger in terms of capacity, because now we knew that we have a big event, so we must be prepared for more people in terms of numbers. I think 2018 in Cape Town had about almost 6,000 people attending the event. Then I think also we have to move to also another bigger and better venue, which is Soweto Cricket Oval. I think 2019, before COVID, we had about almost 15,000 people attending on that weekend. Mm-hmm. So the one for last
year. Yes, it will. Remember, this is not Mickey Mouse, my brother. 15,000 people.
Yes, 15,000 people. It's growing year, perhaps. It's growing every year. So 2019, the last event was 15,000. Like this year, like now, last week, on the 3rd and 4th of September, I think 2 weeks back, we had about almost 18,000 people actually in the event.
Yeah, man. So give me a call. If you were at the Soweto Kota Festival, give me a call, man. I'm sure somebody's listening to this conversation and they were at the Soweto Kota Festival. And perhaps you could give me a call and let me know, in your neighborhood, in your area, where is the best kota to be found? I'm told, Sidwell, that there's a sister by the name of Ausiwadi Kota in I think it's in Meadowlands, yeah? And I'm told that is your best kota sort of hangout.
Yes, it's quite because the man is also serving the old, he doesn't use the fries, you know, normal quarter will have your chips, So my cousin uses all of that. Like, we get a lot of lamb. There's lamb, there's stew, there's mash.
Wow.
So it's quite different. This quarter is quite different in that. So, yeah, I think most of the people who love quarter, so they always go there. You maybe drive from Fortiacre to about 30 minutes drive to Midoran.
Sure. No, I'm looking for that invitation, Sidwell. I'll come there, and then you can take me around to eat the quarters in the different. Anyway, but here's what I'm still interested in. I mean, from a beginning of 2,000 people that came to showcase their different. What is your invitation? Where do you invite? Where do you say to people, come and join us, be part of the experience? How does the process work?
Okay. Normally, we use a lot of social media. Like, when you go to our social Facebook page, Soweto Quarter Festival, then we put an invite there. And say and invite those local chefs that they must participate to the event because you know social media, Facebook, Instagram, also Twitter, a little bit of Twitter. So, but we also do press release for media, like let's say the 2, then we send a press release so that they can also so that people can know about the event.
Yes. Ah, Sidwell, my brother, this is exciting news, your main marketing tool is social media.
Yes, I would do a lot of social media. We have a lot of followers in our social media pages. But now I think there's also a lot of response in terms of people. They want us to come to Pretoria. There's a call for social movement to come to social
sure.
To go. Yeah, because I think in November we might be going to the tennis to go to the Eastern Tennis Society.
Yes.
There's also a plan for the VAR. In Cape Town, I think you get a lot of messages also from Cape Town.
Yes.
Something in Cape Town. So,
and in Cape Town, they've got a thing there called the Gatsby. Let me tell you, that thing will lay you down. It will lay you down, right? You sleep for hours after having a good Gatsby, my brother. And I think what would happen there is that there'd be a beautiful fusion now of different tastes and flavors. You know what I mean? You'll see when you go to the Pretoria side of things, there is a particular accent on the Kota Yako Kopitori. It's slightly different. And then if you come this side to Joburg, Soweto, slightly different to Tembisa.
Yes, for sure.
And if you go to KwaZulu-Natal, it's slightly different. It's got different things. But my brother, let me tell you, when you go to Cape Town...
Yeah. I also have to express that from Cape Town.
Yeah, no, man. I tell you that Gatsby lays you down. When I go and enjoy myself a Gatsby, and I think there are areas here in Joburg that also do the Gatsby, you know, which is an interesting take. Maybe let's invite somebody to give us a call. Where does one get a proper Gatsby here in Joburg? Love to hear from you. Sicelo is in Rockville, Soweto. Hi, Sicelo. Hello, Sicelo.
Good. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Sicelo. Go ahead, man. We can hear you.
Perhaps I happen to know that guy personally. So I grew up with him, and at the time when he was still conceptualizing the Kota Festival, I was sitting with him, and to see it to what it is now.
Wow.
It's good. And he's very passionate about what he does. And we are both entrepreneurs, by the way.
Right.
And, well, even this year, when he started to tell me around about 10, that he's already started planning for an event that's going to be in September.
Yeah.
That should tell you how serious he takes his craft.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the experience that I had to go to the festival, because I've been to all his festivals.
Yeah.
That he's had of the Kota Festival. So the one was bigger than all the other ones in terms of the gas economy, where this year you had more people, the stores, people selling their own brands, and the number of stores, of quarters, the entertainment, the DJs, everything that's local that's there.
It sounds to me, Stelo, that it wasn't just the quarter that was center stage. It was just the people of Soweto enjoying company and enjoying each other around the quarter, yeah?
Yeah, true. The event might be in Soweto, but you have people from East End. I had invited people from outside Soweto to come and experience this. It might be called Quarter Soweto Quarter Festival, but it has people from outside Soweto.
Oh, man.
That people are looking forward to this, and people are even asking me about when are they going to have another one of the Quarter Festival. And speaking about the quarter that I had, I forgot the name of the store, but I knew that I had, it was called the Gold Digger. And it has the succulent steak.
Yeah.
It was something else. And I came with my daughter, and thank you.
Family environment, Stelo. In other words, I wouldn't have a problem with my baby girl coming with me and my kids. Yeah, family environment was nice. Yeah,
he's got a section where kids play. He has those jumping castles,
right?
Face painting. And, he's got the site for kids.
Thank you very much for your call, brother. I appreciate it, yeah? Sidwell, so you're talking about the possibility of going to Pretoria side, East Rand, and maybe even Cape Town. We used to have a culture, particularly in Mumps, where we used to have jazz festivals, Komorotele Park. I don't know if you remember that. There was a big Mamelodi. You know, all roads led to Mamelodi at around about December time. It was a big thing back in the early 90s, 80s. And I don't know if you know of Muritele Park. And it was a big thing. It was everybody wanted to go to those places. It was great for the Mamelodi economy. People would sell things. It was great. It was really a prosperous time for Mamelodi as a township. And then that thing died. That thing died. The music stopped. People didn't come to Mumps anymore. Muritele Park wasn't the place people were wanting to go to anymore. I'm not sure whether it's changed. But the point I'm trying to make is that we need to revive Kasi economies in that way, in the way that you are doing with the Kota Festival and so forth. Is this something that we're likely to see as a national annual event?
Yes, no, definitely, the ops. Because we just want to revive the country. But I have a problem also with Soweto.
Sidwell, I don't know what's happening, bro. I'm beginning to lose you. There's a change there. Maybe you want to move around a little bit. I'm not sure what's happening there.
Okay, let's try and move around. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. All right, but go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. I think that's the plan, bro. To try and go to other areas, other
counties. Right.
So definitely, what is about counties?
All right, Sidwell. So sorry, my brother. There's a serious problem with the sound here. I'm not really sure what's going on there. I do want to get Sidwell's contact details so that anybody that might want to collaborate with him from any other part of South Africa maybe can talk to Sidwell. Sidwell is Sidwell Chingalani. He is founder of the Soweto Quarter Festival. This guy said to me, like, oh, no, it wasn't so big. It wasn't so big. We had 15,000 people. Hey, what? Huge, man. That is huge. And I really hope that we can see something like this develop as part of the South African itinerary. As much as we talk about the Kaapse Klopse, for example, we talk about the Rand Show, the Rand Easter Show, and the various events that we have in South Africa, wouldn't it be nice to have that big Soweto Kota Festival? Remember, there used to be a thing called Makufe. Does it still exist?
Yeah.
So they still have that kind of thing? Okay. All right. Wait, I just want to take a quick call from Sidwell. Sidwell, so are you saying to me that there's a possibility of making this something national?
Yes, I think the plan is to go to different townships.
Yeah.
Let's say if you can go to the East Rand, you go to Spokane. Remember, yep. Spokane is the company.
Yeah.
We go to try to go to different areas, because remember this thing is also about the township.
Yeah.
Like let's say when you go to Pretoria, it's park.
Sure.
It's no longer quarter. Then you treat it as like that.
So yeah.
It's a plan to revive the township economy, perhaps, so that it can. Because remember, COVID, we struggled a lot during COVID. So it's about also to create more jobs in the township.
Listen, how do people get in touch with you, Sidwell, if they want to be part of your vision? Yeah.
Okay, perhaps. I think the Facebook page is Soweto Kota Festival. Then on Instagram, it's Soweto Kota Festival, one word. Then on Twitter, is at Kota Festival. Then we also have a website. Our website is www.kotafestival.co.za.
Sidwell Jingilane, as I stand up and salute you, my brother, thank you so much for the work that you're doing. Thank you for being an inspiration. And don't you stop, brother. Don't you stop, because generations to come will thank you for not stopping. And I really appreciate what you're doing. You make us proud to call ourselves South African.
Thank you very much, Paul. Thank you to several two listeners, and thank you for the invite,
Paul. Hey, tada. Sidwell Jingilane, founder of Soweto Kota Festival, a South African doing great things.